when clothing is more than what we put on our backs. And Petersburg's DC lobbyist outlines plans for pink salmon disaster money. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories are up next. Under a draft plan released this summer, commercial fishermen in Southeast Alaska would get only a small portion of the $56.3 million appropriated by Congress to address a pink salmon disaster in 2016. However, workers at seafood processing plants that year could be in line for some money as well. A year and a half ago, the U.S. Commerce Secretary declared the 2016 pink season across the Gulf of Alaska a fishery failure due to unusual ocean and climate conditions. The state of Alaska and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have come up with a draft spending plan for how to allocate the money to fishermen, processors, municipalities, and researchers. The money will be paid out by an agency called the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission. Sebastian O'Kelly is a lobbyist in the nation's capital. His clients include the Petersburg Borough and that commission. O'Kelly briefed the Petersburg Borough Assembly on the spending plan Monday.
I want to talk a little bit about the allocation and the breakout and the criteria that will be used in distributing the relief, because you will have, you will have fishermen, processors, and the borough itself as active participants and recipients of this funding.
The draft plan allocates $4.1 million for pink salmon research, including work to estimate the annual numbers of young salmon migrating from streams to the sea. More than half of the money, $32 million, will be paid to commercial fishermen, specifically permit holders who fished in 2016. Over $20 million of that would go to fleets in Prince William Sound, nearly $7 million to Kodiak fishermen, and $2.1 million to Southeast Alaska permit holders. That's based on the value of the catches in 2016 and how those compared to average catch values for those regions. In addition, O'Kelly explained $17.7 million would go to processing companies that operated that year.
The processors will have to show their loss for that year, and they have to have a plan for allocation of 75% of the amount that individual processor receives to the processing workforce. So I've been around a lot of fisheries disasters. This is the first time I've seen those decisions made. So this will be a new process. So it'll probably take a little bit of while to sort out.
Another $2.4 million would be paid out to municipalities like Petersburg, where pink salmon were landed in 2016. Public comment on the plan will be taken until 5 p.m. on September 18th. Clothes can share a lot about a person. What they do for work, what type of climate they live in, how they recreate. What people wear and when is particularly interesting to Amelia Nash. I browsed the vintage clothing Nash has been collecting for decades and have this report.
Clothes were built to last back then, and here they are, lasting and getting out into the public again.
In the basement of the Chilcat Center in Haines, Amelia Nash and volunteers are sorting through plastic totes of clothing and steaming pieces that will be hung on racks.
I've been collecting basically since I was a teenager, and there are a lot of items that I've, lost, sold, or given away over the years, but this represents what I have left. Some of them come from Haines garage sales. Some come from my time in San Francisco and Portland.
Nash is part owner of a gallery and gift shop in Haines, and she's preparing to hold a vintage pop-up shop. She says she's sold some vintage in the past, working at a collective in Portland.
It was hard at first to think of clothes as something that I wanted to sell, because my instinct is just to collect them and have them because they're so fascinating. Old clothes tell you so much about the way people live, and what life is like in different eras and things. It's just the most interesting thing for me personally.
Nash points to her favorite shirt on a rack of ready-to-go clothes.
This is it. It's a green and white polyester button-down from the 1970s, and it is super op art, eyeball-melting psychedelic. And I stole it from a roommate in Oakland, and I hope she forgives me. But this is just my favorite shirt. I love how impractical and terrible it is, but how beautiful at the same token. Like, it is just I don't know, it's a shirt of shirts.
There are clothes here from a lot of different time periods. Nash says she doesn't have a favorite.
I mean, I gravitate towards the 60s and 70s just because of the loud prints, which I'm such a fan of. But, you know, I couldn't pick a specific decade. There are so many interesting shapes and forms that all decades took. You know, everything from like the exaggerated shoulder pads in the 40s and the drop waist in the 30s. And it's all so... I couldn't pick one.
But she does have a preferred type of clothing.
I always gravitate towards fabrics with bright and interesting prints. That's one thing I feel is lacking in clothes, in modern clothes. So even if the cut is a little bit odd, I will totally grab this butterfly on lily print any day.
Nash's love of clothing and how it reflects culture has been part of her life for a long time.
When we were young, we had a dress-up trunk full of clothes that my parents encouraged us to just wear whenever. So we'd go to the quick shop dressed in, you know, my grandma's vintage finery with like hard hats and firemen's helmets on. That was just something our family did. And it was just encouraging us to just express ourselves in whatever way.
She remembers a trip to England as a kid and the museum that stood out the most.
The thing that I remember the most about the whole trip was the Museum of Costume History in Bath, which was amazing. And just seeing the examples of hoop skirts and farthingales and all the crazy architecture that went into clothing, and then the reasons behind it, like why were they wearing these things?
Nash says when she's not wearing vintage.
I'm not a kind of person who cares a lot about what I wear when I'm not wearing vintage. I'm wearing dirty jeans and extra tufts. But for me, putting on something old and beautiful helps transform me into whatever I need to be that day. And that's always been the case.
Nash says clothes can help explain who you are and even change the mood of a day.
For me, it's just a real true form of self-expression. I mean, you're right. You do attract a lot of attention. People always comment on it, but it can also lead to conversations where they wouldn't happen before. Or if I'm feeling the need to brighten the day in a, you know, dreary winter afternoon or something, you can put on something bright and fun.
She says it's hard to part with her collection, but it also feels right.
I think now I'm reaching a place in my life where you start to sort of assess your crazies and you know, face what you got and just see where you're going with it. And I think the path is definitely letting it go.
Because she says she will always acquire more in the future. Nash's vintage pop-up is Friday through Sunday at Ampersand AK. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight.